Thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood, brought to you by Miller Lite.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on, Cap Jay Hood, ESPN 1000. So we're very privileged to have a great relationship with Mike Tannenbaum, who's been a GM of two different NFL teams. He's been an agent. He's awesome on TV and radio. And he is kind enough to join us now. And Mike, we'll get to football in a minute, but we have a question for you. Danny Zetterman, our executive producer, has three kids, twins that are, Danny, what, about to be five in 16 days?
16 days.
And a son who's seven. He said yesterday, I'm going to Target. And, of course, they're all on lockdown, so to get out of the house is huge. I'm going to Target. We're leaving at 3:30. The two boys were at the door, shoes on, coats on, ready to go. His daughter playing with dolls. Danny told her 10 times, we're leaving at 3:30. She wasn't ready. He left her at home. Do you agree?
Oh, boy, that's a tough call. Well, you got to teach lessons, so I'm all for that, but five, that could be a tad young for me. So I like discipline, but I got to say that's a little young for a five-year-old girl.
There you go, Danny.
How about that?
All right, so now.
Wait, hold on a second. Let Danny respond, for God's sakes.
Listen, Mike, I understand five-year-olds, it's a little young. I told her literally seven times, we're leaving, Zoe. Zoe, we're leaving. We're leaving. Even as we were leaving, I handed her the shoes and socks and said, put them on, we're going. And she didn't get off the ground playing with the dolls.
So here's, as a father of a 16-year-old daughter, I can tell you two things. One, they're going to have more of the answers, not less of them, as they get older. And two, it gets way more expensive. So the fact that they're only playing with dolls at five, enjoy the moment, because they do not become more salary cap friendly as they get older.
There's a guy that's dealt with the cap many times.
That very
Mike Tannenbaum. You know that very well, don't you, Mike?
In fact, I'd be happy if you want to just go straight up daughter for daughter, no questions asked, you know, no contingencies. I'd make that trade right now. So 16, you got her and the expenses. Happy to take a five-year-old. Bring her down here at tax-free Florida. Great weather. She'd be really happy.
Trader Mike.
I don't have former GM money, current ESPN talent analysis money. I'm gonna stay put. I thank you for the offer.
So I'll tell my daughter that she's, you know, maybe she winds up going to Northwestern or something, and you can meet her one day. But until now, I guess we'll hold on to her until she graduates high school.
There you go. All right, so Hoodie and I were having this discussion. If the Bears GM job opens, and there's some speculation that it will, if it opened, you've got the Falcons, the Texans, the Jaguars, the Lions, and then the Bears. What would be the number one job if you had your pick of any of them?
Oh, that's easy. It's the Houston Texans. And it's a very simple calculation for me, Cap, which is Deshaun Watson right now is playing one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. He's under contract for the next 3 years, and it all begins and ends with that. And, look, it's hard to talk about, you know, Ryan Pace may or may not be employed, but hypothetically, if that job was open, the challenges with the Bears are you've put so much into that defense, and you've gotten a pretty good return on investment, but not having enough – series of number one picks, not knowing what you can do at the quarterback position, you would really want to make sure that you're in lockstep with the ownership, with the Hollis McCaskey family, to say, hey, you know, do we have 5 years to do this right? Because Aaron Rodgers is going to be there for a number of years, and for us to compete, it's going to take us a while, and it starts with getting the quarterback position correct.
Mike, if you're running the Ravens or the Steelers and you're going from day to day, not sure when you're going to play, now it's going to be in the midday today on Wednesday, how would you feel knowing that you're dealing with COVID-19 and yet you know that your players and your coaches are used to a certain schedule and now it's being moved from time? How do you deal with that as a GM if you're with the Ravens or Steelers?
Yeah, guys, I mean, basically – let's control what we control. The last few days have been really hard. We're competitors. We want to go play. And now, you know what? We have a chance on national TV. It's an odd day. It's an odd time. But now we have to bring the passion, the energy. This is a great opportunity for us to showcase what we have. And I think there's such a compelling storyline, guys. It's RG3, which is when you think about guys like Teddy Bridgewater and Alex Smith, this is a transformational moment. He's 30 years old, 41 career starts. If he plays well, if he goes into Pittsburgh in these circumstances and beats the Steelers, the trajectory of his entire career could change literally in 3 hours.
So I want to go back to the Bears for a second, because Matt Nagy got on the Zoom with the media on Monday, and he's, I'll never call my guys out, and he's that, you know, positive guy all the time, and he's a great dude. And he just rolled the bus over his defense, and this was flat out embarrassing. And if you catch 10 balls from the jugs machine, go catch 20. If you watch 3 hours of film, go watch four. Do you believe, as some have said, Dave Wannstedt said, okay, you don't change your personality like that unless you're confident that you're coming back. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think similar to that is you have to have confidence in the equity and the relationships with the players, because you can't have difficult conversations with players or call them out nationally like the way he did on TV unless you feel like they're going to respond. It's too much of a risk, because it could go the other way. But I agree. What's really been disappointing is you don't see offensive linemen trailing the ball and cleaning the pile. You don't see multiple Bears running to make a tackle. Like, things that are very discernible in terms of effort isn't there, and he has a right to be mad. I just hope for his sake that he knows that it's going to be, the message is going to be received the right way. And then the other thing, fundamentally, guys, like, it should really challenge, like, the veteran leaders, like the Khalil Macks of the world, the Roquan Smiths. Those are the guys that have to say, hey, the standards are the standards, and we just got embarrassed by our rival. It's not good enough. If we're going to lose, at least let's go down. You know, it's like the old axiom, like, let's win or die trying.
Mike, how far are the Bears from being that perennial winner in the, not necessarily in the North, but just in the NFC? When you look at this personnel, what do you like about it, and what are the negatives?
Yeah, defensively, you know, they have a lot of really, really good pieces. I think Akeem Hicks still doesn't get the credit he deserves. Obviously, Khalil Mack is a all-pro. You know, at linebacker, they have speed and range, you know, between Trevathan, Roquan Smith, and the secondary, you know, maybe it's slightly overrated, but I think Jalen Johnson has a chance. Eddie Jackson's been solid. So there's enough pieces there on defense. You know, offensively, again, it's obviously starts at the quarterback, but to me, it's also the offensive line. I just don't see the consistency there up front, and that's really shown up where, be it Mitchell or Bowles, it just hasn't been a clean pocket. And, you know, they obviously deserve their fair share of the blame, but to me, I would start with the offensive line and the quarterback.
Mike, as you looked at those open GM jobs and Hoodie picked the Texans, I did not, because they don't have a pick in the top 78 at all, and they have got some issues they've got to address defensively. Yes, they have Deshaun locked up. I picked the Jacksonville job. Five of the top 68 picks, $100 million in cap space, and I'm going to pick my coach. I'm going to pick my quarterback. Like, it's all on me. Would that be the number two one on your list then?
Cap, totally agree. And I would say you practice and play on grass. It's in tax-free Florida. Like, that should be a destination. Like, the thing that was disappointing to me, when you look at Jacksonville guys, Jalen Ramsey wants to leave. Fournette clearly was not upset to get let go. That should be a place where guys are walking to. And something was wrong there systemically. So I agree, if you have Trevor Lawrence, which presumably he's going to go to the Jets, but if you have Justin Fields, that place could turn around pretty quick. I think that's an underrated sort of market, an underrated place to operate a winning franchise.
Mike, I want to ask you, if you're ever to go back into the front office for a team, is there still a value in 2024 consultants like Ernie Accorsi and others that do this for a living? Like, you've known football for a long time. Do you need a consultant today to be able to decide your general manager or head coach? What's the value of that?
Yeah, I think that's all contextual. I think there's a role for the search firms or a consultant to maybe validate what you're doing. But, you know, candidly, like, when you're running a team, like, the first order of business is to know, you know, it's the old, hey, someone could get hit by a bus. It could be your video director. It could be your trainer. It could be your head coach. Your job is to know the next up-and-coming guys, and that's really, really important. Who's developing players? So, yeah, those other people, other resources, there's a time and a place. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to have a very tight inner circle and have some incredible mentors that have been able to, you know, look at things for me. Or, again, it's a lonely position to have, and you need people that you know and trust that can help. But I think sometimes what you see is, these search firms get way too involved, and they don't really know. They come in, they're like hired guns, and more fundamentally than anything else, guys, and this is what bothers a lot of people in the industry, they have no accountability. They come in, they get their fee, they walk out the door, good or bad. And, you know, when you're running a team, you're all in. It affects your life, your kids' lives, and countless other families, and that's what you want. You want everybody in the same boat, and we're going to sink or swim together.
See, Cap, the reason why I ask Mike that question is because, as just Mike says, you get your fee, and I don't know if you're just taking care of one of your cronies or not, right?
Right.
Like, if I'm Mike Tannenbaum, I know the next hot coach out of college or the coordinator that needs an opportunity that I think that can plug and play for my particular organization, what's best for my team at this time. But, you know, it's nothing against, of course, you're any one of these other guys, these other firms, but if you're just trying to hire one of your buddies and you're not really taking care of my organization and I trust you, that's not good, because once you've made the choice, you're gone. You're helping another team.
Well, that is also, Mike, I think you would agree, the incestuous relationship. Like, just pick a search firm, Parker and Associates out of Atlanta. Okay, Mike, I'll get you the AD job at X school, and when you fire your football coach, you're calling me. And so now I'm beholden to that company, and they've got a handful of guys they're going to bring me. I'm not getting a smattering of everybody.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I've always been fascinated by coaches and culture. Like, I'm interested in talking to Urban Meyer about what he did at Bowling Green or Utah. When you're at Florida or Ohio State, you should win. Jim Calhoun, I want to know what you did at Northeastern up in Boston. I'm not interested at what you did, you know, at UConn. Or Gino Auriemma, like, I want to know how they hired him to be the UConn women's coach. Like, that, those are great transformational hires. And that's, to me, what you're looking for, much more so than just a brand name, and really peel back the onion and understand, like, what it took to be successful. Again, when you look at Urban Meyer, like, look what he did at Utah. Look what he did at Bowling Green. Those are things that, to me, are say a lot more about coaching than and you can find those guys if you really stick to a process. And you guys are making a great point. It's way more than just hiring a crony.
So, last thing on the Bears from my seat, if I was dropped into the GM job, and I'm not going to be, I understand that, I would say, unless there is a generational talent sitting there when I'm picking that every scout on my staff says, you have to take that quarterback, I am drafting with my first pick, offensive line. My second pick, offensive line. My third pick, offensive line. I'm fixing my offensive line, then I'll worry about the quarterback. Is that wrong?
Cap, I'm 100% agreement. My first draft as a GM, I did that. I had two first-round picks. I took the Birkenstock Ferguson from University of Virginia, Nick Mangold from Ohio State, and 10 years later, those were still great picks. And we needed a quarterback, but I made the point. I'm like, guys, I don't care if John Elway is in this draft. If we can't protect him, nothing matters. So they have enough good pieces on defense. We addressed that, and I totally agree. If you can't block him, nothing else matters, and it starts with that foundation. And look, there'll be a number of quarterbacks out there. It may not be perfect for a year or two, but at least the trajectory of the program can change with a good offensive line.
Have a great day, man. We appreciate you.
No, same here. If you guys want to talk about, you know, the daughter-for-daughter trade, you know, I'm still, the trading deadline for family business is still open.
Okay.
All right, Danny, you're on the clock, kid.
It's still open there, Danny.
My wife texted. She's considering the offer. She wants to know what else Mike might be throwing in.
Like, oh, a future pick or something.
Future daughter?
All right, well, we'll kick that around. Appreciate it, guys.
Have a great day. There he is, Mike Tannenbaum, been a GM of two different franchises. He took the Jets, to two AFC title games?
Yeah.
Like, he knows his stuff.
I asked that question, Cap, because it's going to come around the bend for the Bears at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully George McCaskey, or someone send him the podcast at the 9 o'clock hour. Listen to a guy that's been there and done that. Tannenbaum's not asking for the job. What he's saying is that if he gets another opportunity, if he has another opportunity to be a GM again, right, he's not going to call old man Accorsi, Casterly, or some of these other places. Like, hey, I know who the hot coordinator is.
Correct.
I'll build a staff internally. He says, keep the circle small. Keep the circle small.
Yep.
Don't get a guy that's just going to get a finder's fee. Like, you know who's really good for the job? Adam Gase.
Yeah.
Hire him again, right?
Right.
That's how he gets hired.
Correct.
Hey, that's my friend, Adam. I'll get you the job. That's, my God, it's no different than an agent. trying to get a radio job for somebody. Like, that's my friend. I'm going to get you a job. I'll get you right there.
Yeah, I'm in with that guy.
Yeah, so but you keep the circle small, Miller. That way it's like, okay, we know who's hot. And by the way, to his point, he's talking about big-time coaches like a Calhoun. He mentioned Urban Meyer when they were in smaller schools.
Right.
Like, how'd you build it to even get to this point?
Right. Like, why did you pluck the guy out of the MAC to bring him to Utah where all of a sudden he's, like, unbelievably successful? Like, it's easy for Florida to go, we'll get the guy at Utah, just went to the Sugar Bowl. Why'd you pick the guy at Bowling Green? Why'd you pick the guy at Northeastern? Because there's a million of them.
Yeah.
All right. A great parody song from the Waddle and Sylvie Show and your calls on the Bears and Zetterman's parenting style. That's next.
Wait a minute.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Thank you, Mike Tannenbaum. A lot of fun talking with him. I texted my wife at the break and said Danny left his daughter at home when he said we're going to Target, blah, blah, blah. And who is more on time in our relationship? She said, I agree with Danny 100%. And by the way, it's totally her, she says, more on time than me. No well, shot.
Yeah, but it's because you're working.
Exactly.
That's not your fault.
That's it.
It's because you're working. Hey, you had to do a podcast afterwards. Of course, you got to talk to a lot of people as you leave the building.
Right.
You know, you're just trying to get out of the building. People want to say, hey, Cap, how about this? How about that? You'll get there.
Yeah, I came down the other day.
It's not on purpose.
No. On Monday, I came down and I said, I'm exhausted because I went to bed at 2 after the Bear game and post game and podcast and all. She said, well, you and Jonathan work 3 hours a day, so good luck. I'm sure you'll be fine.
Okay, it's not 3 hours a day, though.
It's what I keep telling her. I'm like, honey, I have to watch these games. I've got to be awake.
The awake part, that's a job, too.
Yeah, exactly.
At our age, it's a job to stay awake.
312-332-3776. Helen is in Libertyville. Hi, Helen.
So I'm calling because, first of all, everyone that's called has been wrong, except, well, Cap's wife is right, but... Robert, forget about it, Robert. Your whole idea on how raising a girl, I've raised three children, is you're raising a princess. And when she turns 16, she's going to tell you what to do. She's going to expect a car. She's not going to have girlfriends because she's a princess. When the guys date her, they're going to dump her because she's a princess. So that's not going to work. But the way psychiatrists say you should do this is this, Danny. What you should do is you should go to your daughter and you should say, listen, you know, so-and-so daughter.
Zoe. No, her name's Zoe.
You got to call her a name,
Zoe,
too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I knew that. I'm sorry. I'm just a little nervous.
So-and-so.
Okay, so Zoe, this is what we're going to do today, Zoe. I'm taking the boys and you to Target. So if you want to go, your choice is this. You have to give, Danny, you have to give the kids a choice. And then they have to suffer whatever the turnout is. So the way this would work is you would say, listen, the boys... we're going to Target. We have to leave at 3:30. What I want to tell you is if you're not ready with the boys at the door at 3:30, then it's your choice to stay home. And that's fine. You can stay home. But you will not get a present, just so you know. So when the boys come home with a present and they're happy and they're running around the house, you're not going to have one. So now it's your choice. Which would you want to do? Do you want to stay home, play Barbies, or do you want to go to Target? That kid will be dressed in those pants and ready to roll in 2 seconds. And the point is you always give them a choice. And when you're getting them dressed, you don't show her a whole closet full. You put two outfits on the bed and you say, Zoe, which one would you like to wear today? I want the third one. No, this or this, that's it. And then she lives with it. And that's the way they do it now. I mean, my kids, I raised my kids. They told me I did everything wrong. My mother did everything wrong. I mean, the way they're raising them now is you sit and you talk to them because what happens is I was like a dictator to my kids.
I prefer the dictator thing.
I like it too. Way too soft today. No, I know, but that's not, but you know what you're doing? You're giving her a choice. You're not dictating and you're not being a patsy.
Yeah, in my house, and my wife would back me up. And appreciate your call, Helen. We appreciate you listening. Have a great day. My wife was a tyrant. Hey! here's what we're doing, that's when we're leaving, and that's it.
So that's where she got it from, you.
She was a single mom when I met her.
Yeah, but you're that guy now. You're pointing the finger and saying, take that to everybody.
Take that.
Yeah. So that's where you get it from.
Yeah, like, I don't understand how people in this business, I've been doing this a long time. So have you.
Yeah.
I may be late tomorrow, but I've never been late to do a show.
No, I haven't either. Danny?
Helen said I was wrong, but yeah, I gave her a choice. You either leave with us or you stay home.
Yeah, but she said you should have talked to her.
I did talk to her. Nobody was there.
Helen says that, she said the option is leave her home, but there's no present on the other side.
Well, the present seems to be the sticking point, that I brought her home a Barbie doll. That seems to be the thing most people are mad at me, that I taught a lesson, but yet I took away from the lesson by bringing home a reward. Listen, I Googled the greatest teachers in history.
Yeah.
Helen Keller comes up, Albert Einstein comes up, Aristotle comes up, and Zetterman comes up. What I did yesterday, they'll be writing stories about.
And we just talked to Helen Keller moments ago.
That's true.
Nonetheless, what? But nonetheless, though, but here's the thing, though. Hey, Cap, I don't know if you really see what's going on here. Yeah, I mean, Zoe got a Barbie doll, but it was a bootleg. If you would have been on time, you would have got a good one.
A real one.
It had no accessories, was what I was told. It had no accessories.
Right. It was returned. It didn't even have a box.
Just had a dress.
So the ones from the South Side. So what did Diana say, though? She can't be happy, the wife.
No, I got a text from the wife, Diana. She said, talking about Zoe today, ? Must be a slow sports day.
No, it's not a slow sports day. It's real life, pal.
A great topic.
Come on, Diana.
Listen, we needed to take a chapter out of the book of Danny, and it was the one of don't be late.
Right.
Don't be late. Listen.
Don't tell your best friend his wife's leaving him, and make sure you leave your daughter at home.
That's two chapters. That's a thin book.
You make the call.
Henry!
312-332-3776.
Back to the phone lines we go.
Yes, and we will play the great parody song from Waddle & Sylvie.
We'll get it there.
In the next segment. Let's go to Bruce in Lincoln Park. Hey, Bruce, what's up?
Bruce. Hey, gentlemen. I just thought I'd give a perspective from the other side. Was in business for 40 years. And I don't have kids, but in the last 10 and 15 years of my career, I noticed that we'd have an important meeting, $100,000 contract, and the 26-year-old sales rep would wander in my office 10, 15, you know, minutes late for a meeting and thought nothing of it. And, I took it as a sign of disrespect. I took it as a sign that they thought their time was more important than mine. And I guarantee they lost a lot of sales because of it. And I think you're right. It starts early.
Well said. Appreciate the call, Bruce.
Yeah, the problem is around here in 2020, kids don't have the old pocket watch. You know when we grew up wearing vests and suits?
No.
Running around. You remember those days, right?
No, I do not.
The wool suits. And we all had a pocket watch.
And a chain.
That's the problem, Meller. We don't have the old pocket watch anymore. That's kept the time. You knew where you were going back there. You remember those days, Cap, right? Wearing the wool suit?
No shot.
You were there?
No shot.
Little hat?
Yeah. Little newsboy cap on. Yeah. Exactly.
That's the problem. You see, if kids had the old pocket watch like when Cap and I were growing up, you'd know what time it is.
That's a no shot. We'll get more of your calls. We got a bartender that wants to weigh in. We got men, women, and we have a great, great parody song from Waddle & Sylvie that you're going to love. It's all next.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies at Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
This topic, I'm like, we could do 3 hours on that. I mean, awesome topic. Most have kids, and if you don't have kids, you've been parented. I think it's so interesting. And if you're just joining us, Danny left his daughter at home. She's 5 years old, or will be in 16 days, because he told his three kids, the twins, who are five, His son, who's 7, we're leaving at 3:30 to go to Target. If you want to go, be ready at 3:30. He told her 10 times. She was playing with dolls on the floor. She wasn't dressed. Danny and the two boys, gone. They left. She was crying. And we support what Danny did, but others do not. 312-332-3776.
You were saying about this parody song, though.
Yeah, we'll play that in 1 second. Take a couple more, and then we'll play this parody song and get into it. When you were parented, though, Hoodie, your dad, I never got to meet. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he was a very, what's the right word, disciplined, intense man. Loved you, but it was his way or the highway.
Yeah, so Rob Hood, the old Arkansas Razorback, yeah, he was, it was his way or the highway. But that was great discipline for someone who was undisciplined, who was a wild child. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the discipline was good. But I understood being on time to get to the store or to be able to get to appointments. I totally got that from him. So I got that. That's learned behavior, though. But for some, where it's willy-nilly, you get there when you want to, you know, and not really having value of time, it's just different.
But did he do that to you at a young age?
Yes, absolutely.
How about mom?
Same thing. They're both from Arkansas. So even though they both took their time in the South, it was about being on time, because it's just about trying to teach your kids, like, hey,
make
sure that you respect someone else's time.
I would love to watch you say that to your wife now.
Oh, no. If you were flying the wall, you heard me say it many times, because that's where I got it from.
Let's grab Mark in Portage Park. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, man?
What's up, Mark?
Hey. So let me preface, I love the new show, by the way, but let me preface this whole thing with I hate being late. Mm-hmm. So I met my wife online. Our first date, we met at a bar in the Loop, and she was 45 minutes late to our first date.
Mm.
So when I got there, thankfully I went to the bar. If it was a table, I might have walked out, because I would have been embarrassed, but I was sitting there with 2 seats saved. Now, the bar's busy. You know, it was a bar restaurant. So after about 15 minutes, the bartender kept coming up to me going, bro, I kind of need the seat. Like, don't think she's coming. You know, I'm like, I'm texting her currently. Like, you don't know she's going to be there. So she shows up 45 minutes late. Have a great date. I'm, you know, walking her home, or I walk, I'm like, hey, you know, I don't know if you need to get a cab or whatever. So I'm, you know, walking her, you know, home. And then she just turns around and goes, oh, I live right here. Yeah. Have a good night. Bye. She lived 5 minutes away from the place. So throughout this whole thing, you know, 45 minutes. And if I would have walked out, you know, we've been together over 7 years. We've been married for 4. Our son's celebrating his 3-year birthday on Saturday. So moral of the story, I guess, is I'd have waited probably a lot longer for it. So, yeah. Right. Love you guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Mark. Have you ever had a fight, like a real argument with your wife because she's late?
Oh, no question about it. No question about it. And it's embarrassing, too, because if you're supposed to be someplace, and the worst is probably for me is entertainment. If there's a movie that I really want to see, like, okay, the previews, that's fine. We're going to miss the previews.
Oh, in the theater.
Yeah, in the theater, yeah. If we're going to miss that, all right, that's fine. But the movie, I want to be there on time for that. So it's like the previews are almost like a 15-minute grace period, right?
Right.
All right, I'm in line for the popcorn. Okay. But while the thing's going on, when the movie starts and we're still in line for the popcorn because we didn't make it on time, yeah, we've had that issue. We've had that issue. But I love her anyway.
Yes.
The reason that this was so important to me that I left my daughter behind yesterday was because, and I love my wife, and I mean this with peace and love, she's the latest person on earth. The latest human being on earth. And it's one thing that really, really bothers me. Like, we'll make plans with the Silvermans. And when Sylvie and I will make plans with him, the wives, to have dinner, and we'll say, okay, we'll meet at 7 o'clock. Sylvie will always text me, is it 7 o'clock Danny time or 7 o'clock Diana time? Meaning he knows, like, my wife's going to be an hour late. Like, so it's one of those things where I felt like I had to nip it in the bud with my daughter, because I don't want her to turn into my wife in that way that time is meaningless.
So you want to come by the crib? Did you bring a bag of clothes?
Am I sleeping over?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to. I think you're going to cut. Yeah, but the commute's shorter, so you're good.
Well, we could drive in together tomorrow. You show me that Whole Foods you always talk about.
Wow. All right, Joe in Mokena. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Hey, gents. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
so,
sir.
There's 2 points here. To a five-year-old Danny, when you left her at home and she started crying, that was the lesson being taught right there. So bringing her home a Barbie doll, there's nothing wrong with it because she's five, guys. You got to remember, she's 5 years old. The other point is guys hold their daughters a little bit closer than they hold their sons. That's just how it is. So I see nothing wrong with bringing home a gift to a five-year-old little girl. So, Danny, that's your baby girl. Hold her higher than you hold your boys because she's always going to be near and dear to your heart, man. I have two daughters myself, and they're my world. So thanks for taking my call, guys. That's all I wanted to say. Merry Christmas, you guys. Love the show. Take it easy.
Happy holidays. Thank you, Joe. All right, so there is a holiday parody song contest going on Waddle and Sylvie. They do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
We were privileged to get to hear a song that was freaking hilarious. So we wanted to bring that to our Kappa J Hood listeners. Mellor?
So for a little context here, this entrant was from Danny White and Doug Banks, and they are multiple time finalists on the Waddle and Sylvie parody song.
How about that?
Contest.
GCI's Doug Banks.
Oh, nice.
How about that? Dan Ryanhead, Doug
Tom
Banks.
Tom Joyner on that song, too.
Tom Joyner is done.
So they have been very strong contestants in the past. This year, they submitted one as soon as the contest began. They unveiled it yesterday in Waddle and Sylvie. And it is to the famous Beach Boys tune, Little Saint Nick. Enjoy.
Ooh, what happened to your game,
Shrinkage
Nick?
Shrinkage comes this time each year.
Ooh,
in the NFC North where the air gets cold, there's a tale about a QB and his name is Foles. He used to pack a punch, but his game's gone limp. And the whole entire offense is now impotent. It's the shriveled Saint Nick.
Shriveled Saint Nick.
What happened to that
big Nick?
He's got a sprained hip.
He's got an arm like a noodle when he drops back to throw. When he sees the blitz coming, well, you already know. He shrinks up like a turtle and just falls to the turf. Yeah, playing for Matt Nagy must have cursed his bratwurst. It's a case of shrinkage.
Case of shrinkage.
Now he's Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
It shrinks?
He was a Super Bowl hero, put Tom Brady to shame. And he showed us that he lived up to his famous nickname. Now, 3 years later, we can just reminisce. Cause he shrivels up when the competition gets stiff. It's the tiny Saint Nick.
Tiny Saint Nick.
Yeah, we're sick of this shtick.
That was really good. Really good. That one's going to get some traction.
Yeah.
And they've never won?
No. They've been a finalist 3 times. They actually have won. No, yes. They did strong contestants.
Very good.
But he's not impressed.
God.
You don't look impressed.
I didn't hear anything. What happened?
No.
Did we play it yet?
Ooh.
Oh. Didn't enjoy the sound vocals, the mix there, huh?
Well, I don't even know. What group is that from?
That would be Doug Banks and Danny White.
Yeah, I didn't hear any bass there, so I missed it.
Well, that's from the Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Parody Song Contest. If you think you can do better, please try. Go to ESPNParody.com to submit your song.
Yeah, Hoodie. I want to hear you do one. I would love to hear you sing a song.
Yeah, I'm way too cool for that.
Wow. Take that, Waddle.
No, so you thought Carmen's entry was better.
Yeah, well, it's Carm. He's a friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Carm's not eligible to win.
I thought Carm's was good. I did.
Yes.
I thought Sylvie was way out of line.
Now, if it was to Kokomo, I might have said, yeah, that's pretty good. But it wasn't Kokomo. Yeah. How come they didn't do it for Wouldn't It Be Nice If? That would have been much better song.
Wow.
Take that, Carm.
No!
All right, our lines are still locked and loaded. We'll get to more of these calls, and we'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko at 10 o'clock. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. It's Cap J. Hood, ESPN.
Kokomo.
Take that, Sylvie.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show.
This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
All right. Final segment before Crosstalk, and I mean, every line is lit up. People love the Danny topic. Wait till you get to the next Danny topic that we have in the quiver.
Which was really the whole reason that I even mentioned that I left Zoe at home. That wasn't even part of what I wanted to discuss with you guys today.
I love the long-range tees. Another 24 hours, you'll find the second leg of the Danny story. And then there's a third leg as well, which we will not reveal.
Correct.
Which is amazing.
Are you talking about the one I just told you?
No, well, that's another story.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I just got a good morning from Peacock, so she hasn't been listening. Thank
there
God.
There you go. Thank God.
Yeah. Just got
Yeah, the princess in my house, when you provide things for her, she wants to micromanage how it's provided. So we'll get to that.
Oh, geez. That don't get thrown out of the crib now. You've been through that once already.
Yes, I have.
Don't get thrown out of the crib.
312-332-3776. I'm going to let you pick one.
We will go back to the phone lines and talk to you. We will say hello to Steve in Wheeling.
Steve in Wheeling, you're up. What's up, Stevie?
Hey, gentlemen. Good to see you. Good to listen to you today. I'm actually going to chime in on that GM, open GM positions around the NFL. My pick is actually the Falcons. That's because I like the top culture they got. They have a great owner in Arthur Blank. And somebody overlooked is Rich McKay with a rich football background, as he does with his family. And you do have a quarterback in Matt Ryan where you can go forward with him, or you can get possible draft picks and going forward. And there's tons of talent on that team, in my opinion. Your thoughts?
Appreciate your call. Look, the Atlanta job is intriguing. You got a wealthy owner who owns Home Depot. He'll spend and has made that clear. He'll do whatever it takes to win.
Also, a wispy mustache.
Yes, another wispy mustache. Arthur Blank.
Also looks like he belongs in a black and white film with the zoot suits he wears.
Yes, no question about it.
Yep.
He'd be good on The Undoing.
Yeah, yes, he would.
Anyway, the Atlanta job's a good job. I don't think it's a great job. You got a 36-year-old quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You are overpaying based on the productivity you've gotten back. And I'm not saying they're not good players. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. Like, you're paying a ton of money. It makes him immovable.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's at the top of my list.
Texans is a job for me because I got the quarterback. I don't have any question marks about Watson. Now I've got to build around him.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. You went with the quarterback. I went with the cap room and all the draft picks and getting to pick my quarterback. Either one, it's not a bad one.
I'm a simple man. As you could hear.
Yes. You're an old-fashioned.
No, don't say that now. Hold on.
Let's go to Gruden in Vegas. Hey, Coach Gruden, what's up?
Hey, man, that was a beautiful banana, man.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
Hey, Danny yesterday was a Gruden grinder with what he did with that little girl, man. That was like Pavlov's theory, man.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
You got to get these kids in that order right away. I seen too much disrespect, man. You see the questions they're asking me about Thanksgiving, man?
Man, it's amazing, isn't it, Coach? All these questions about Thanksgiving. You're just concerned about football, right?
Yeah, you should make sure you get your team ready to play next time you go to Atlanta, man.
Hey, everybody's got to be better. Didn't you say that in your little read for Valpo, man?
See, if you'd have gone to Valpo and not Dayton, Coach, you could have charted your course to wherever you wanted to go.
I'll tell you what, I think I might go down to Hooters and get some wings and a Corona.
Yeah, it makes sense, Coach. I agree with you, man. You say Father of the Year. You think he's Father of the Year? Is that you'd think of Danny, Coach?
Yeah, but I don't know about that Barbie doll, man.
Why?
Get her a football, man. You see what happened down at Vandy?
Yes, we did see the lady. Yes, she did kick the ball. Yes, we did see that.
The kick wasn't real good, but it was a very cool moment.
Oh, there it is! Oh, jeez.
I mean, come on now. Ball went about 20 yards.
Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us from Vegas.
Coach, thanks, man. Good luck. Hope you don't get beat 43-6 again.
We all got to be better.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Coach.
Well, those words to live by right there. We all got
to. I call that the turkey hole. Don't ask me why.
It's right, man. Got to get better.
You got it, man.
There's a beautiful banana.
He's so great.
Love the Chicago Bears, when I watch them, I get bored.
I love that he is in Vegas getting ready to prep his team, and he's listening to us.
Yeah, it's great.
I think that's awesome.
He's got the radio on, man.
Let's go to, how about Maryland? Maryland's been hanging in there. Hey, Maryland.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good.
How are you?
Good. Hi, Jay Hood. I have one for you. I was talking to Danny. I said, well, here's what you got to do. I'm a babysitter from way back. I used to babysit my two cousins, my aunt's sons, their kids. They were 2 and 4 and I think 3 and 5 at the time. It's all about bribery. When you want them to do something for him, you have to give them something back in return beforehand. I said to them, when I showed up, they used to request me. That's how much they like me. And they still call me Auntie Marilyn to this day. Now, the thing of it is, I put my bribo hat on. I said, well, why aren't you dressed in your pajamas? You guys know the rules. And they're like, well, we were waiting for you. They gave me that line. I said, well, okay, I'll tell you what. The first one to get their pajamas on gets to stay up an extra hour early.
Maryland, you're awesome.
An extra hour later, and that was it. Boom. They ran into their rooms, and they got their pajamas on. In fact, the one kid knocked over the sister, and I said, well, I think I have to call in a draw. You can both stay up an extra hour.
Maryland, you're awesome. We appreciate you listening, and I'm sure you have a career as a babysitter.
Yeah, no, not anymore. I'm too old for that now. I wanted to say thank you also. For the apology. That wasn't necessary, but I appreciated it.
All right, we love you.
Okay, thank you. I love you, too. Bye-bye.
Yep. There you go. I don't know who apologized, but somebody did. I think Hoodie.
No, it was you, Cap. You brought up that she's in love with Yurko on the air, and it upset her. And then
stop.
You said you were sorry.
That up. Yes, correct.
Is she gone?
We will, yes.
Okay, I can come out now?
You can come out. We will crosstalk with Carmen
oh my God.
And the aforementioned Yurko. In 2 minutes.
She scares me.